The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory. And his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A group of FBI agents were conducting a raid at a psychiatric hospital in San Diego that was under investigation for some medical insurance fraud, apparently. And so after hours of reviewing tons of medical records, the agent that was in charge of the whole operation was, called a nearby pizza place, well, had all these people that need to be fed, to call in some pizza and beverages. So this is the conversation that was recorded on the phone system. The agent says, "Hello, I'd like to order 19 large pizzas and 67 cans of soda." Pizza man says, "And where would you want us to have them delivered?" Agent says, "We're over at the psychiatric hospital." The pizza man says, "Psychiatric hospital?" "That's right," the agent says. "I'm an FBI agent." The pizza man says, "You're an FBI agent?" "That's correct," says the man. "Just about everybody here is." "And you're at the psychiatric hospital," the pizza man says. "That's right," he says. "And we have the front doors locked, so could you go around the corner and go through the back door?" The pizza man says, "I don't think so," and ends the conversation. So lesson one, if you're an FBI agent investigating a psychiatric hospital, don't try to have food delivered to your location. But maybe a more relevant lesson to us today, it's not enough for a message to be true. It also has to ring true. It's not enough for a message to actually be true, but it has to ring true. Why did the message of Christ ring true? Why this sign at Cana was the beginning of the faith for the disciples? Let's unpack this a bit. Let's say a first response is this one, because what Jesus said corresponded to their experience of the world, and at the same time was pointing beyond this world. He celebrated the love of spouses, but did that to point out that the love of husband and wife was a symbol of God's love for us. It was a symbol of that wedding feast of the Lamb that he was about to bring. He valued the good water of this life, but indicated that he was bringing the wine of a higher life. In another passage, he would cherish this desire that the disciples had to be the first ones and to have the first places. But then he reoriented those desires beyond success and recognition by other people. He constantly made the material things of this world sacraments for higher realities. So Jesus takes in what is valuable in this world, but points it beyond this world, because he knows that in the end we want something that this world promises, but it cannot fully give. In all these good things of life, there's a promise for us, but we know that the world can never fully satisfy that sort of open promise. And so he takes that desire, but points beyond it. Look at this way. If Jesus had simply brought practical, everyday solutions, you know, to problems in this world, like having enough wine for a wedding, or organizing an event, or reconciling political differences, we would soon be very disappointed in what he was doing. You know, we would find a better way to achieve those things. We would come up to him and say, well, Lord, now we have this app that estimates exactly how much wine you need for a wedding, so we don't need you anymore. Thank you. It's been great to have you here. So this troubleshooting Messiah doesn't really work. It's kind of too short of a goal. But on the other hand, picture this. If Jesus had come to bring something that had nothing to do with our needs and our expectations for this life, completely aloof, well, that wouldn't work either. It's like going, oh, I'm going to bring this honorary PhD to some tribe in the Amazon. And the people there would say, well, what is that? Why do we care for that? You know, well, if Jesus came to bring this salvation that had nothing to do with our expectations of life, why would we go for it? I think that, you know, the great fascination of the teachings of Jesus is that they bounce off these great deep desires that we have, even for things of this life, but they raise our expectations beyond those needs and those desires. A while ago, I was reading this interview, interview with David Brooks, and he said this about St. Augustine in his conversion. He says, quote, "The main thing I take from St. Augustine," Brooks said, "is that he was someone who was very successful, but found his soul was famished the higher up he got. Augustine revealed the shallowness of worldly success," end of quote. And it is true. I think in most people there's this desire for success and excellence and to go up. But at the same time, that when we get there, it's true that we don't find true, complete fulfillment in that thing we were hoping for. We get there and then we say, is that it? Maybe there's something else that I should aim at. So the question arises inside of us, well, what is it that I really want deep inside? Why do I have this desire for some greatness that nothing in this world can fully give? And I think this is what the sign at Cana did. You know, it showed his disciples that what Jesus brought was in continuity with the needs and desires they had, but he was coming to satisfy those desires in a deeper way than they thought, in a way that they would never have expected they could be fulfilled. You know, because usually things of this world leave us thirsty again. So Jesus promised us this new joy, this new wine that will satisfy. So let me invite you this week to these two reflections. The first one is, why does the message of Jesus ring true to you? What is it in his message that rings true? How is it that it coincides with your own experience of this world and of life in such a way that you exclaim, well, how true this is? This rings true, right? But it also may be challenging your assumptions. Like, this is not the kind of thing I would preach to myself. It goes beyond. You know, and there's many, many sayings of Christ that you could think about. Take, for example, loving your enemies. Like, in the deepest of our souls, we know that is so deeply true. Because what other solution would there be for evil and grievances than to say, well, how do you stop the spiral of violence and evil than saying, I forgive. I will not continue it. But at the same time, you realize, I could never do that. Or I would never say that. I would never preach that message on my own. That's not something that we people could do without God's help. So first reflection, why does the message of Jesus ring true to you? How does it connect with your desires and expectations for life? But also, how does it go beyond it? And then take a further step. Offer to Jesus the Cana moments in your life. You know, sometimes people draw close to God when they are in need, when they're hurting, when they're wounded. And that's fine, of course. We need Christ when we are when nobody else can help us out of a problem. But I invite you to do this Augustine move. The higher you go up, the more you realize, you know, this is not what really satisfies me. Everything is going so great in my life, but I realize I was made for something even greater. Some years ago, I was in Portland, Oregon. Well, not long ago, months ago, but I lived there for many years, and I got to know this professional player, soccer player, Diego Valeri, who we connected because he's from Argentina the same way I am, and so somehow he's a very practicing Catholic, and he's the star of the Timbers, the soccer player, the soccer team there, and eventually got to know his story. He wasn't really close to God at the beginning of his career, but he got injured, he went through many experiences, and one day he said, you know, my life needs to be aim at Christ, at God. I love soccer, but soccer with all its greatness is not what can fill my heart completely. And he said this to me eventually, you know what, I found out this strange thing, that now that I made Jesus the goal of my life, now that my life is aimed at him, I get to enjoy soccer more. Because I don't expect soccer to be my God. I don't expect it to fulfill everything I am. I just have fun. I go out on the field and want to win, and that's exciting. But it's not the goal of my whole life. And only God could bring that to me. You know, well, that's the Augustine move. That's realizing that even when you're successful at something, and you're known by everyone, by your career in this, you still realize, well, this cannot be my God. I need to look beyond and above that. So reflecting those paradoxes, how does the message of Christ ring true, and seek Jesus at the Cana moments? How have those moments helped you discover that there's this deeper need that this success is pointing to? So may we pray. Lord Jesus, I give you thanks for the many blessings you have given me in this life, for all these good things that surround me and that are my joy, my friends and family, good moments of joy, the opportunities to help others, to work out, to learn, to know new people, to use my talents. But I especially thank you, Lord, for this gift of friendship with you, for this opportunity to know who you are and experience your love. Because that presence of yours in my life, Jesus, is what gives everything else its proper place in my heart. So come and transform the water of my own desires into the wine of your dreams for me, into the wine of your love and your glory. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.